Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to the November 14th regular Othello City Council meeting. If you would all please rise. And I'd like you to engage in a silent invocation, asking for the blessing upon tonight's meeting, upon this council, and wisdom and favor from heaven. Now join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Please be seated. As we go over our agenda tonight, I'll move to item 1.4, which is the roll call, and all of the council members are present except Eugene Bain. He had some training out of state, and he asked to be excused, and I would entertain a motion tonight to excuse Eugene Bain from our proceedings.
Make that motion.
Second.
Good? First thing. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Moving to item 1.5, citizen input. This is the segment of our city council meeting where citizens have the opportunity to address the city council with any subject that they would like to bring up. You have up to 5 minutes. If you would like to be recognized, please raise your hand and I'll give you 5 minutes to step to the microphone and address the council. Is there anyone present? Okay, seeing none. We'll move to item 2, approval of our agenda. I'd entertain a motion tonight to approve our agenda.
I'll make that motion.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item 3 is our consent agenda.
I'll make that motion.
You make a motion to approve the consent agenda. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. So now we'll move to our current business of the evening. And with us tonight, we have the charming Julie Flicht, who is the new executive director of the Adams County Development Council, and she has a presentation for us and some material. Julie?
Yes, good evening. So as the mayor mentioned, I'm Julie Flicht with Adams County Development Council, and I'm here to give you an update on what we have been working on. Do keep in mind, I've been in my position for 3 months. So I'll speak to what Chris current. In front of you, we provided an annual report, which gives you an overview of what has occurred in the last year. Wade Ferris also sits on our board of directors. So Wade, if you wanna help contribute to answer any questions if they come up, I'd appreciate your assistance in that. So I'll mainly direct you to our strategic plan document, because this came out over the summer at the annual banquet, and this really guides the work that we have moving forward. I think the best way to describe the work that we do this in partnership with all of you, with other cities, towns, and with Adams County. And in particular, Stephen McFadden, with his Adams County director, economic development director. The best way to describe his role and my role is that when you look at these strategies, he does the pieces that are larger industry, infrastructure, in those type of areas. That takes a lot of skill and a lot of working within the county and parameters to be able to do that, and especially with all the work that you do in the city as well. My role coming on board is to really assist the small businesses and to help with the entrepreneurship moving forward. So something in particular we have coming up in April, I'm working on confirming location. We are gonna have a workshop for social media. It's a social media boot camp for businesses to help them to increase their business in the area. I'm also assisting on the steering committee alongside with Pat Simmons, my board chair, with the branding marketing endeavor that the city is doing in partnership with the Chamber of Commerce. I've also been giving business assistance to the Chamber of Commerce. As you know, that's another important partnership that we have with the city to make sure that they are doing the work that they need to do with their board and community to help make businesses stronger. So I've been spending some time with Bianca to learn how do we hand off that process and just really assist her in building her capacity. The fellow chamber is doing extremely well. They're following the three-year plan that was put in place through past assistance that ACDC gave, and so I was extremely pleased to see where she was at. So those are just some quick highlights of some of the work that we've been doing. So I know you have a full agenda, but do you have any questions for myself?
Council? No? Julie, thank you very much for your presentation. I think we'll just consider this an ongoing dialogue that we'll keep with the city, and we look forward to working with you in your five-year strategic plan.
Great, thank Great. You.
Yep, thank you, Julie. And now, item 4.2, Adams County Development Council, addendum number 9. Wade? Or was Julie going to...
No, I'll do that. What this is... It's something we pass every year as part of the budget, and it's a support of the ACDC organization, and we've done it for a lot of years. And it's based on per capita, as spelled out in the agenda memo. And you can see as we grow, of course, our contribution gets bigger. And so what we ask council tonight is approve the addendum to the original agreement, which will basically approve this year's contribution to ACDC.
Council, do you have any questions? All right. I need a motion to approve this addendum.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item 4.3 is a resolution to authorize curb planning grant application, and tonight we have Jesse Calgar of Varela & Associates to explain where the city is going with this request to for a new well 10, how we're going to fund this.
Sure. So most of this is in the agenda memo, but I'll give you sort of the quick highlights from it. City staff and people from Varela & Associates attended the IACC conference at Wenatchee in October. And during that, we sort of developed a funding strategy for the city's water projects. And the water project's going to include a new well, a pump station, and a reservoir. And the planning level cost estimates for the purposes of acquiring funding is that's probably a $5.7 to $5.8 million project. And this is all coming out of the water supply planning work we did kind of in conjunction with Aspect's review of all the wells, the overall inventory of what you have, what you need sort of in the interim until you can get to a supplemental source potentially with surface water or treated industrial wastewater, whatever form that takes. But the next step in sort of maintaining the city's existing well pumping capacity so that you have reliable sources, but also the ability to maintain pumping rates as future declines occur if past trends translate into future realities. So this funding strategy that we laid out in here was basically that there's different programs that the city can go to hopefully get the maximum amount of grant available for this project. So the higher the percentage, the better. And we've identified four different programs that we were going to go after this year, the first one being this curb planning grant. And it's kind of like the gateway one. It's probably the smallest in dollars, but it's going to allow you to get a few things rolling that will hopefully make those subsequent applications to other programs easier for them to get on board with. And if you can scroll down, Spencer, to the kind of the next part there where it talks about what components would be funded by it there. Further down there. There we go. So there's environmental review required for any project where you're disturbing the earth, basically. Preliminary engineering report is required for applying to rural development. Some additional hydrogeological investigative work with Aspect on that to make sure that if we go at that site, potentially explore the Grand Ronde, just try and reduce the uncertainties. You know, you can't eliminate them, but get a better idea of what we might have at the two sites that were identified in the water supply study. So The specifics on the CURB grant is that CURBS stands for Community and Economic Revitalization Board. So that particular program wants the city to demonstrate how this project supports existing economic conditions and potentially future development in the city. And it's pretty easy to make that case in that you need water for development, you need to maintain pumping capacity to continue to have a city. So I think there's a definitely a good story for the city to tell there. The CURB program has a maximum grant request of $50,000, then they require at least a 25% match. What we proposed for the city here is a little more than a 25% match, which really it's just what those tasks are probably going to take, but the more that the city commits toward it, kind of the more buy-in that the program tends to see. So I think you're probably up closer to like a 30, 35% match there. So part of the reason I'm here is that the program requires a resolution by council in order to submit. So that's the practical reason. But I thought it would be a good opportunity, I guess, to relay to council sort of the results of the IACC conference and the positive things that came out of that with kind of rubbing elbows with regulators and funders, that sort of thing, and sort of starting to develop some momentum for this project. Each of those programs that were listed out on the other page, they all had representatives at the IACC conference. So when we go to apply for these funding programs, as they're kind of listed out there with the dates and everything, this won't be the first time they hear about this project. They'll have already heard about it in October when we were with them at the conference, and all those things improve the city's odds of getting funding from them. So you'll be hearing from me kind of before each of these dates when we have more to report on each of those grant programs that we'll be going after. But each of those, or not all of them, but most of those are also coupled with the potential for loans. So a lot of times if they can't offer you grants, sometimes they'll still offer you loans. So there'll be decisions to make on whether or not to accept it or to continue to move down the line to the other programs and see what kind of a funding package you can assemble. So are there any questions on the specific or the broad that I can answer for council on that?
The 1.55 million from the legislative line item, is that a grant, a loan? What, how does that come to you?
Yeah, it's kind of funny because you don't really call it a grant, but it's the same as grant. It would be money appropriated by the state to the city, and you wouldn't pay it back.
Okay.
But they don't really call it a grant program. And I, Wade Ord, the mayor, actually might have some things to chime in on that. You know, we sort of made an initial request, and it sounded like the representatives wanted to see a little more of what we've lined out here in terms of having pursued some alternate funding sources before they got on board. So we plugged in, you know, hope to get roughly $1.5 million from the legislature. If that didn't come through, or if some of the other funding sources didn't come through, the last one that we applied to there is rural development, and they can fund the whole project, but if you apply to them first, it would be probably a lower or no percentage grant. So we wanted to exhaust sort of all the other options before we went to them to fill in whatever we couldn't get from the other funding programs. So that's the strategy anyway.
I think just for the council's benefit, that we specifically started out high at the 5.75 million legislative appropriation. And after a telephone conference call with Senator Schessler, he wanted us to cut that number back. He wanted us to find other areas because in the original request, it was for the whole project. And he has other projects, and he said it probably wouldn't get out of committee if we didn't show that we were getting money from other sources. So that's when we went to Varell and Associates to help us put together some kind of a funding package. This is what they've come up with. And as Jesse mentioned, this is the first step. And since CURB is, they meet every 2 months, we need to have our application in by the 28th of November. So we're looking for council approval tonight so that we can move forward with this CURB grant. And then at the same time, we will be looking at these other areas, the community development block grant, the drinking water state revolving fund, the appropriation. But what we intend to do is once the council, if they decide to move forward with this grant application, we intend to then go back to our legislative delegation, the governor's office, and let them know we've been working on it, and this is what we've come up with. We originally asked for 5.75, now we're down to 1.55. So this is how we think we can do it. Is that something you guys can support? So that's where we're at. And I need, so if there's any other questions, you can ask Jesse. Otherwise, I'd entertain a motion to approve this curb application resolution.
I'd make a motion to adopt that resolution 2016-XX.
That's just XX because I didn't know what the number was. Debbie will add it. Or maybe she already has.
Was that all right?
I'll second.
Any further discussion? And my understanding is Varela is going to complete that application for on behalf of the city.
Yeah, and we're just rounding up the last couple of items. We got to get that letter of support from the Chamber of Commerce. And is Adams County Development Council, is that separate from the Chamber of Commerce, or is that the same thing? If perhaps we can get them on board for a letter too. Yep. I mean, that would improve the city's odds of success there. So we've got a form letter that we can. You can use and adapt as needed, but I think that would help the city.
I have Julie's card if you need
it. Send it to you.
Okay. Very good. All those in favor of the motion to approve this application resolution, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you. Thank you, Jesse.
Yep. Thank you.
So what is the target date that we're looking at?
For
drilling well number 10.
Yeah, let's go back to that. Pull that the memo back up because there was some dates on there.
Yeah, some of that depends on.
I'm looking at 2018. Honestly.
It depends how rapidly you, or I should say, how successful we are at acquiring these different funding things. But I mean, we'll go through each of the programs this year, and so the last one on there is basically drinking water state revolving. Well. I guess RD will happen after drinking water state revolving fund, but the DWSRF apps are due at the end of November in 2017. So you'll know funding by then. But yeah, 2018 is probably the most realistic date as far as like actually drilling a new well, mm-hmm. getting stuff going that way.
Yeah, this
year will be mostly acquiring funding.
So 2017 will be. In your budget, we're looking at $55,000 for. We get the $50,000 for the curb grant if we do. That'll cover the first two steps in the budget for $55,000 for the preliminary engineering report and the environmental review.
Yeah. So like in the app. Will show the first phase of the project as that $75,000. The city will only be committing $25,000. And you're not actually committed until they offer you the funding and you take it.
Right.
So this isn't, you're not approving those steps yet. You're just approving applying with that potential ratio of 50 to 25.
Okay.
So if you get it and accept it, then you we go to a detailed scope and lay it out for you if you approve it. So. This is just to try and get the funding.
So if we get that started in November, when would we see results from that?
So the environmental review process has like a kind of like a lot of comment and waiting periods, you know. But there's but
just for the grant, when would we see the results from the grant?
When would we know if we got it?
Yeah.
So can we go back to the
end of January.
Yeah, the board meets every 2 months, and they're actually one of the fastest at once they review it. They basically invite a representative from the city to come, they discuss it, and they vote on it right there. You walk out of the room knowing whether or not they're going to fund it, and I think the money is available pretty rapidly after that. So that's one of the upsides to the program, actually, is that it moves really quickly.
Hopefully we get it, and mm-hmm. hopefully we get started on the preliminary work to get the rest of this stuff.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Very good. Thank you.
So, something we need to consider in next year's budget, that out of the water fund, we're going to look at having to fund a few things until we get reimbursement and grants that come back through.
Yeah.
Right.
We don't want to wait.
No, we're
I mean, if we're going to look at where the location is, I mean, first of all, we've got to get aspects involved in finding a location.
That's part of it.
You know, where the best location would be to acquire the most water, you know, for us. And then what it's going to require to put a well in that location. We may need to buy property if there's none available.
And one of the things that came out of Aspect's work, we're looking at those things. And so the two sites that are being considered, one is west of town out of Tagaris Park, and the other one was actually at the existing Well 9 site. So Well 9's into the Guanapum, and what we're proposing is to explore the Grand Ronde. And so Aspect did some modeling during the analysis to see if there would be any issues with siting those at the same site, and they don't believe there would be. And the advantage of putting it potentially at Well 9 would be that if water quality wasn't ideal, you could blend it with Well 9. So those are kind of like the two sites that are identified at the moment and the environmental review would be focused on. So that's what we have at the moment anyway.
And we'll further develop it if we get this grant.
Well, both of those are great options because both of them could essentially cost zero for land.
Right.
So
that's our hope.
Yeah.
Good. Very good. Thank you. Moving to item 4.4, Adams County Fire District Number 5 report. And we have Jay Weiss and Jay, what is your, are you here on the board, the fire district board?
Fire commissioner.
Your commissioner.
Currently the chair.
Okay. And
thank you for having us.
Yep, thank you.
I spoke to Wade last week and he asked that we attend and answer questions regarding our proposal.
You might want to go over your proposal there, Chief.
Okay.
Just in brief.
The district is currently proposing a amendment to the contract. The CPI that we currently get our increases off is not keeping up with the city of Othello growth or the cost of materials. So we're asking for an increase based on valuation. So I have a copy. It's got some writing on it, but I will see if we can get that on the overhead of the proposal that we presented to the city. The proposal is a step method on based on valuation and does not mature to the full extent of the agreement until 2021. What it's based on is current city evaluation, and we're asking for 60 cents per thousand on that, which would relate to $291,000 roughly at this time.
For a little bit of history, back in approximately 2003, the city and the county went into mutual agreement to provide fire service. At that point in time, they came upon the $200,000 contract amount. About three or four years later,
in 2003, the contract started in 2001.
2003, then they went to the CPI language, which said that based on an average of the last two January CPIs, we would get that increase in the contract. The last 2 years, last year was less than 1%, I believe, and this year will be less than 1% again. It averages out to, well, what's less than 1% of $250,000. So, but with all the growth that is going on in the city and the expectation of an increased fire service, we're looking at trying to enhance some of the things that we're already providing. So we looked at a better way to continue providing that service to the city and believe that a valuation contract would be able to keep up with the growth, whatever there might be within the city.
And in that increase, you guys are looking at additional staff?
We are.
We've talked for a few years now about the Washington Survey and Rating Bureau and the process that they go through to rate fire departments throughout the state. And we want to ensure that the citizens of Othello, the business industry, remain a 5 rating for survey and pay those reduced costs for insurance. And I think I've provided the city with the estimated increase for commercial and residential costs through the help of Mayor Logan, which I believe the commercial increase goes 23% to 25%. The homes are 13% to 15% increase to jump one category rating. So this will help us maintain that. We've got several programs that we would like to implement, and looking at the future, these will bring us into a better standing for surveying rating at our 5 rating, and also modernize what we're doing.
Surveying rating is an objective tool. There's not black and white, it's an interpretation based on by who's looking at all the questionnaires and the things that they will look at. So you want to make yourself as positive as possible and do as much as you can to keep yourself in that kind of comparable, I guess I would say. So the more we can do to strengthen our position within the city is going to be beneficial.
Council, do you guys have some questions?
I have one, actually. First of all, I asked you at the committee meeting, but I'm not sure. What's the total amount of time that, compared to the county, that you guys are spending in the city, percent-wise?
It fluctuates, but I'd say it's a good 60-65%.
You're spending 65% of your time in the city?
Doing city business.
Or of your time, fire calls, inspections, all of that, what is the percent of time that you're spending in the city of Othello?
On the city.
On city right. Business. I'd say 65%.
Okay, what was the 33% when you told me in the committee meeting? I asked you that question in the committee meeting and you told me 33%.
Would be county.
No, you told me it was 33% city compared to 65%, 66%. Am I wrong on that?
I don't remember what the... You can come back to that, Corey. Do you have any other questions?
I actually have a lot of questions. You guys are asking for a huge increase. This year alone, it's about a $42,000 increase. And that's at our property valuation for today's rate. And we all know, everybody in this room knows that our valuation is going to go skyrocket. So I just basically want to know, you said you've got a lot of plans to implement things. What are we going to get for that money? In 2021, at today's value, it's a $71,000 increase over what we're paying this year. And that's at today's valuation. So I just want to know what we're going to get for our extra $70,000.
Some of these programs have been implemented already that we can do within our current staffing and budget. Others will be implemented with increased budget and staffing. And these are programs that will get us into the future. We're planning additional training for our firefighters, which will improve our response and reliability. We'll do annual ladder testing. Equipment is maintained to current standards and safe to use.
But you're doing that already.
No, we're not.
You're not testing.
We're not doing annual testing.
How often are you testing?
Every 2 to 3 years right now. Survey and Rating wants to see annual testing. These are programs built to enhance our survey and rating and to improve our service to the community of Othello.
Do you have a copy of your total budget?
Do I?
Yeah.
We actually have it in board docs.
It's not turned sideways.
And that's actually, I've actually got several other questions about the budget too. And I guess one of the questions I've got is right now we're paying, last year we paid, and I'm going by 2015 numbers because 2016 isn't complete yet, but it looks like going over it, it's going to come pretty comparable. First of all, I think we should be paying our fair share, but I also don't think that we as a city should be subsidizing the county fire department. But it, for instance, we paid you right at $250,000, just over in 2015. In your budget, you only appropriated $233,000. So I'd just like to know what happened to the other $17,000.
No, we appropriated the $250,000.
Not according to the county auditor. The appropriation was $250,000. You had expenditures of $233,000 for the city.
Right.
So
the appropriation was $250,000.
Okay. Well, but of that, you only spent $233,000. I would like to know what happened to our other $17,000.
It's a rollover.
Okay. And that's another question I've got. Your budget for last year was $738,000. Of that, you only spent about $630,000. So that basically about $100,000. Where is that going?
There's not $100,000, but there's a rollover budget that we do, or we roll over money. We're a little different, where we save for future purchases. Our fire apparatus is paid for 100% when we buy it. We've identified through the county current needs for both the city and the county.
So are we benefiting? Government's going into an investment fund, right?
It's going into a general fund, which is invested into a market that we get a return on. It's a very minimal return.
Is the city benefiting from that at all?
From the overall combination of the departments, yes.
How are we benefiting?
Additional manpower, more apparatus, maintenance of equipment. You're asking if you're benefiting from a contractual matter with the district?
Okay, what I'm asking is we paid you $250,000. You guys only spent $233,000 of that, but now you're asking for more money. Like I said, I think that we need to be paying our fair share, but I don't think that we should be subsidizing the county fire department. I think we should be subsidizing the city fire department. And I understand it's a contract, but that's public money that we're contributing 40% of.
So I can twist that around a little bit. We have 4 full-time paid staff. They spend approximately 60 to 65% of the time doing city work. So the subsidizing actually comes with Fire District 5 for what the city is getting out of what we're providing.
Okay. So you're telling me a different number now than what you told me in committee.
We are not. You misunderstood us. It's always been approximately 60%. We've had this conversation for several years within the district, talking about what we're providing for the city, how can we improve that, what are we doing, are we doing what the contract states, and we believe that we are, but there's more to be done with the new review from Standard and Rating.
Do you have a new review?
No.
Because I asked for them, and I was told that the last survey and rating was in 2011 or 2012.
And you were given that copy.
Right. Yeah, and I appreciate you, by the way. I emailed you and you emailed me almost right back. I appreciate that. Basically what I'm asking for, you're not spending all the money that we're giving you, but you're asking us for more money. And that's a large increase. $41,000 a year for the first year is a large increase. It's, I don't know what that is, 17% or somewhere close to that.
And that increase is based on 2 new employees.
Okay.
And the benefit out of that is that we're going to be doing more annual inspections, because right now we can't get to them all. We're going to be doing more training for the firefighters. We're putting on 2 full-time firefighters to help respond to calls, and yes, the county is going to benefit from that as well. But during the day, our volunteer staff or volunteer pool is not as robust because they all have full-time jobs and they're not able to respond to fires. So we've been having this conversation for several years about what can we do to either bolster up the volunteers or how do we make sure that we have enough people to respond to fires during the day. Our responsibility is the Fire District 5 in the city of Othello, with only approximately 23 volunteers and 4 staff members. If we have more than 2 or 3 fires at a time, we're already cranked out. So we're trying to see what we can do internally to see if we can make sure that we're going to cover both sides of our responsibilities. And this is one of the ideas that we've come up with. If we can get more volunteers, it certainly would enhance that response time. But at this point in time, everybody throughout the state and as well as the nation is having an incredible difficult time getting volunteers to show up and train. So we're looking at different ways. One of them was this. We were hoping that we could train better. We were hoping that we could put more staff on at the critical times of need. And this was our attempt to try and alleviate that problem.
Okay, so your biggest problem is you're not getting volunteers to respond during the day, right? So I have a question is, what are you paying your volunteers?
We don't pay volunteers. That's why they're a volunteer.
Okay, we're going to get technical. How much are you paying them per point to show up at the fire station when the tone goes off?
$5.
Okay, and they make 1 point per hour, correct?
No.
There's no hour associated with it.
Can't do that, because then they become a paid member.
Okay. The other districts in this county are paying per hour, but regardless. Have you considered, the money you're asking us for, have you considered upping your pay to the volunteers? Because I know the volunteers have went and asked, and you gave them, anyway, have you considered paying your volunteer like they should be paid? When we're asking these guys, when we're asking these guys to show up and go and put their life on the line, to leave a $15 or $20 an hour job to come and make $5, that makes it pretty simple in my eyes why you're not getting volunteers to show up for fires. People have families to take care of. They can't leave a $15 or $20 an hour job to go make $5. So was there any consideration putting that money towards taking better care of the volunteers?
We did increase.
10 cents a point, correct?
No.
How much was the increase?
Before, the points would fluctuate based on the amount of calls, based on the amount of turnout, and so there was a pool of money. Volunteers came and said they would like to have a better pay rate on their point system. That's when we incorporated the current one. And so, based on CPI now, when we give a raise to paid staff, we give a raise to the volunteer point system.
Okay, if somebody, if you get a call and these guys are out there for 3 hours, how many points are they gonna earn for that 3 hours?
3 points.
So they make $15, so it's $5 an hour, though, I guess.
No, it's not an hour.
They get $5 a point.
Okay, so anyway.
Now, well, we can make it an issue because federal labor standards say you can't pay a volunteer. So we're compensating the volunteers. They're getting a stipend. So it's a point system. And when you start talking about paying them, that's not...
Okay, but what I'm saying is I don't think it's fair to ask our volunteers to come in for $5 an hour. And okay, it's not $5 an hour, $5 a point, whatever. They're going to put their life on the line. And that doesn't matter if it's a nice, sunny, warm Saturday afternoon, or if it's 3 o'clock in the morning when it's minus 10 degrees, these guys are still showing up, and they're not being compensated for it. So my question was, is have you considered putting that money that you're asking us for towards your volunteers, or are you set on hiring the two new guys?
A volunteer is a person who volunteers at their leisure when they're able to. Most full-time, most of them have full-time jobs. A few of them are part-time. One of them is out of town that has a part-time job. They're responding when they're available because they want to.
Exactly. But, and that's what I'm saying. If you increase those point payments, that's incentive for them to want to respond.
It's not a pay issue. You're either a volunteer or you're not. And if you want to volunteer for whatever organization that you're volunteering for, you're going to do that.
I understand that.
And because this is rural America, this is one of the ways to offset your ability to be able to respond to emergency situations without having to pay full-time staff. We are in what we're in, and we're trying to make the best accommodations. If I want to raise it to 15 bucks an hour, I might as well go out and hire full-time staff. Am I going to be able to support that? The district won't be able to support it, and the city won't be able to support it. So our best way to handle the situation is what we're trying to currently do.
It, those two full-time staff members you want to hire, that only puts on one per day, right?
No, they're on a rotating shift, and we will have days where there's only one of those on with the rest of us, but we'll have days when they're on together as well.
So I just got one more question, and hold on. So our city, we're growing fast. Okay, you guys are asking for a lot of money, and are you planning for our growth? 5 years, you're going to be asking for an excess of $70,000. In 5 years, what are we going to be getting for that $70,000? We just did our comprehensive plan. We did a 20-year comprehensive plan. Do you guys have any kind of plan like that for the city, or in 5 years, are you going to be coming back to us saying we need more money?
Are you talking $70,000 a year or $70,000?
$70,000 per year. At that, at the 65 cents per thousand, in 2021, that will work out to $71,000 a year.
Based on our current
valuation. Based on current valuation.
And it could be more.
I would accept my life that it's going to be more.
Yeah.
So, okay, restate your question again.
We just did our comprehensive plan. You understand that, right? For a 20-year comprehensive plan. Do you guys have any kind of comprehensive plan for the city of Othello for the next how many years? Or in 5 years, are you going to come back to us and we need more money because we've got to do this? Are you planning at all for our future growth or anything like that?
Today's the start. That's what we're trying to figure out, is where the city is going, and our best bet to do that was with today, with trying to get more personnel, do better training, hopefully that will help enhance volunteering. We don't know what, I haven't seen the 20-year plan yet, so, but that's what we're coming here today, is to start that conversation. We've talked over the last several years about some of the things that are coming up, whether you need trucks, whether the training, what kind of equipment is coming. Right. That's our best bet before, but now we're looking at, you have new housing, you have several new large buildings that have come into play. We want to do pre-fire planning on all of those. That takes time and manpower. We don't know what's going to happen in 5 years. We don't know what's going to happen in 10, but this is the start.
But it's because what we need to plan for. We don't know what's going to happen in 20 years, but we came up with a 20-year comprehensive plan. And it's a really good comprehensive plan. It's very good, and it would help you guys to start planning. And shouldn't you gotta have a plan of what you're doing before you're asking for that kind of money?
I just gave you a plan.
The plan is to get two more employees.
I understand that, but that's, yeah.
The other thing is, we're wanting some feedback from the city. If we get feedback from the city about what your direction is, what you would like to see for fire service, then we could probably help start to provide some of that.
We have an amazing plan going forward.
The comprehensive
plan is open for you to read. That shows the direction of our city for the next 20 years.
Corey, if the fire department is not getting enough volunteers, and I've talked to Gary about it in the past, I mean, we need to be on par, you know. Out of the $70,000 a year, what are we paying, and what's the county paying out of that? Are we taking the whole hit?
We're not asking for $70,000 today. Okay. We're asking for the 41,000.
Yeah, it starts at 42 this year, goes to 71 by the end of the 2021.
And it's a step, increase evaluation. What we're looking at,
you can get up to 71 by the end of 2000 what?
Based on today's valuation.
Valuation, yeah. The growth, the more growth, the more we pay.
What we're looking at today is we want to put one employee on with the city monies next year, one employee on with the county monies, and start implementing some of the programs that we've talked about. They're long-term programs. They're going to take some time to get implemented and up and running. It's going to take a little bit of training hours for the new employees, possibly. But we want to get started on it, working towards the future.
So the city's paying for one employee, the county's paying for one?
Right.
Okay.
So,
Mayor, I'd like to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Just for information here. So you guys are classified as a district.
Yes.
Okay. Now, do we as a city, if the district says, I need two more fire trucks, do you take it out of your money since you have, or do we, as a city, do we buy them?
You currently take care of your trucks and the...
Those are our trucks that park in your garage down there?
Several of them.
Not all of them.
So two different buildings.
We own one of the buildings?
You own one of the buildings, yes.
Okay, and we funded a generator for the fire department, and we funded that for
the city
your building?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So my question was, I just didn't know when you needed more, equipment, does the city pay for it?
We basically pay for everything except for labor.
Correct.
We pay for all of our equipment.
That's what my question was. Because I'm kind of trying to.
That's hard to
read. Trying to read.
Equipment in the building.
What is your starting budget? What is your starting budget from city and county? Because I'm looking at the appropriations that are given to the county fire district. And am I right in reading that it's $713,000?
Yes.
Okay. So $250,000 of that right now currently is coming from the city of Othello. Okay. So the lion's share of it's coming from the county to run the county fire district, right? And that includes Ritzville?
No.
No? That's just.
Adams County.
Five?
Pretty much.
Okay. All right. Okay. Because I was wondering proportionately, you know, how much load are we carrying in comparison to what the county's carrying? And the county's putting in a good chunk of money.
Okay, now, hold on. I want a clarification on that. Does that come as an appropriation from the county budget? Or does that come from a tax raise, a tax that we pay on our property taxes?
That's your property tax.
That would be county property tax, right?
Yes, if you live in the county, you're going to pay a property tax for Adams County Fire. We pay, if you live in the city, do you pay a?
Adams County Fire?
No. Okay, so the county doesn't take any money out of their budget. It's taxed from property tax. That's how they get the other above our $250,000, what we're giving them now.
Can we just?
That's just for clarification.
Can we just pay a set $250,000?
Right, well, or with a minimal increase, yeah.
And they're based on the percentage then?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Evaluation.
Evaluation, that's why they're more, yeah.
Yeah.
Because of the 1% limit and revaluation, our valuation has a tendency to fluctuate each year. It is dropping. It has pretty much, if you look at throughout the county, all evaluations look like they go down almost every year. Every once in a while, they'll kind of bump up a penny, but usually they just fall. We're approximately 82 or 83 cents per thousand.
And the original $250,000 was based on a per capita?
No.
No?
It was at 200, and it has gone up to 250, based upon increases in the contract.
Was it originally developed out of a per capita? No, it was just a.
I have no idea.
Do you remember?
It was a, yes.
So you've had, so the 200, that was, I think I read it here, when they were signed, that was since 2001 or two?
In 2001.
So you've only had 50,000 since then?
Right, that was a negotiated.
It was a figure.
Estimated, yeah.
Yeah, so it started out a lump sum amount, $200,000. That was in 2002. Okay, that's when that agreement.
2001, September.
Actually, yes, you're correct. So based upon whatever formula in here over since 2001, that has now gone up to 250,000. That's what we've contracted you. And then in this contract, which is in our board docs, it tells all the different, you basically agree to fight fire. And you also agree to do certain things, you know, do inspections, et cetera, et cetera. If the fire department needs equipment, we are budgeting additional money above the 250 to buy fire trucks and other fire equipment. Is that correct?
You're buying fire apparatus.
Okay, whatever terminology you want to use, we're anything trucks. Additional equipment, apparatus, or otherwise, we are, that's where what we've been putting this $50,000 a year towards a new fire truck, which Spencer, what do we have now approximately? We have $190,000 that we've set aside for that. And so that's how, so this is how the city funds this in conjunction with the fire department. This is how they operate. The county citizens pay a tax based upon their valuation. That goes towards their budget. The city has contracted them to do the service for us for $250,000. And we also agree to pay in addition to that for any equipment. Does the county give you any additional money for apparatus?
No.
You take your entire apparatus out of
the budget.
Out of the money that comes from the tax assessment.
Correct.
And so
we roll over some each year for specific.
Right. And so this is where, when Corey was asking the question, that's the answer to your question, is that if the budget expenditures were 713, and they only spent 630, that just rolls over. They're still going to collect the tax. They're still going to collect the money from us. They're just building a reserve.
Right.
Can you tell us what the reserve is today?
On the county side?
Oh, you're separating it. Okay.
No, I'm not. I'm sorry.
But if you live in the county of Adams, whether it's in the city or in the county, you're still paying a tax on fire.
I don't think so.
No,
I don't think we are. Do you know what it is? You don't have a number. Okay, do you have a?
I do more.
Oh yeah.
I think it's just over 100,000.
All right, but
no,
I have one more question.
Excuse me. That's wrong.
Because of how we have laid out truck purchases, and I thought Gary might have had that cheat sheet in there, because we expect to buy a truck, you know, whenever.
Every so often.
we're trying to build that reserve up so at that point in time we can order the truck and then pay for it. The other big dollar item that we see coming in 2022
is our estimate.
Is the breathing apparatus for firefighters, labor industry, WAC labor industries, they change what it's not a, it now has to be positive pressure?
It is positive pressure, but what will happen in, by 2022, our SCBAs are going to be still in usable condition, but they're going to meet a mandate that dictates that we start migrating to the new.
You got to upgrade, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we want to be ahead of that game. So we're putting money away now for that.
How much is that going to be?
300 for city and county joint, 320 some thousand. That includes a compressor as well.
Are we going to be paying part of that, or is that coming all out of county funds?
I'm chasing a grant writer right now for that. And we've got some time.
It's a mix because of the equipment that are on both of the trucks.
So that's what I'm asking. If you don't get the grant, are you going to come to the city to ask for money to pay for that, to help pay for that? Or is that going to be coming out of our 250 or whatever, 300,000?
We don't know.
Look it up.
You've been notified that that's done down pike in the meetings that we've had in the past.
Right, that's what I'm trying to get to, is how it's going to get paid for, if you're going to be coming and asking for more money for that. Am I phrasing that right?
No, we don't know at this point. That's what we're trying to do. Because today's 2017, basically. We're trying to prepare for 2022. We see the best way to get the impact to either one of us. And so hopefully we'll have a better answer to that sooner than later.
Okay, so I think probably we've got a long meeting yet tonight. I think probably the best thing to do going forward is you've given us your proposal. You've answered the questions. I think we all kind of now have a lot better understanding of how the department is funded. And so what we need to do as a council, we're going to talk in our budget later tonight. And Gary and Jay, I think the best thing for us to do is to take what you've given us, and then if we need to have you come back again on the 28th, because we're going to still continue budget discussions on the 28th. Is that right, Spencer? So we would have you come back, and maybe there would be some additional things, but I think what would probably be good is if we could just if there is some additional questions, we can just call you, right? Yeah.
Entertain it. If you send us stuff, mm-hmm. we could then get a good answer to you.
Right.
We didn't know it off the top of our head, and that way we'd be able to present you with an accurate answer at that meeting. Would be the best way to do that.
Okay.
Just like you want to know what our carryover is, we can be able to get you that.
Well, I'm thinking of ways to generate money.
Okay.
If we're not paying a tax in the city of Ofello for, to support a fire, you know, district, department, whatever, and we have two of the largest facilities in the whole of the county, you know, I mean...
The largest population in the county.
Yeah, and the most people, I mean, why are we not contributing a share to that?
Like I said, I think it's because we were our own entity for so long.
We're paying...
And we went to going to the contract.
We're paying it out of the general fund to these people to support the city.
But when, yeah, I know, I'm just saying, when the city went to contracting with the county, it just never...
But that $250,000 that we're paying them for, the people in the city are paying that $250,000.
They're paying it through the water and the sewer and all that.
Right, so it is a tax that they're already paying, that we're already paying.
Counsel, I think we have enough information that we can go back now and we can deliberate. I want to thank Jay and Gary for coming tonight. Appreciate it. We just need to do some more work. I mean, this is the nitty gritty time of going through budget, as you're both aware. And let us continue our process, and if we need to involve you more, we will. All right?
Thank you.
You bet. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
So now we'll move to item 4.5, acceptance of Dan Deaver Memorial Skate Park Project.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. We put a skate park together in Lions Park. We completed it July 1st. We're just getting around to asking Council to accept it tonight. We've had some conversations with our engineers, Spahn Ranch's concrete specialist. We've tried to address the answers of council for the cracks. We've had a couple of three damaged panels on the sidewalk due to just the truck and transfer of goods in and out of the park. M Finger came back from Louisiana and he fixed those damaged panels that he damaged during the process. We've had several people out there. Wade's been out there, Dan, some of my staff, Tanya Kritz from WCIA, look at the park. They think it's awesome. We've had a lot of people from other cities, Spokane, surrounding outlying cities that have been there, and they think the park is awesome. It's one of the better ones around here. We did a really good job with a lot of the people. Tanya Kritz thought it was great, thought that it's probably the best one she's seen. We've asked some skateboarders that are skating in it. The only thing that they see wrong with it until it gets broken is that it's quite slick. But as soon as it gets scuffed up, they'll get a little speed and whatever else they do. We've looked at these cracks. I was involved in a lot of the meetings. I was involved in the inspection with the concrete specialist. They did pour this concrete with a 7,000 class concrete, which is 7.5 sack. Quite a bit stronger concrete than what was actually proposed in the specs. It was proposed that by M Finger. It was verified by the concrete specialist from Spahn Ranch. And they poured it that way with that class due to the weather and the temperature at that time, which was in June. Quite hot. They did tarp it just for moisture purposes to keep it from drying out any quicker than it is. They did a really good job, but as we know, somewhere it's going to crack. It's just when and where. We've had those talks and discussion in there, and they agreed, and our engineers agreed. Spahn Ranch agreed. So with that moving forward, we have several cracks out there, but they're just hairline cracks. There's nothing of great width to be concerned with. I think that with our eyes on it and monitoring that after our acceptance here, we have a one-year warranty to be able to monitor and put this together. And if there's something that goes wrong or something that gains any width at all, there's a lot of bar in this thing, and I just don't see it going very far. But it could. But I think that we should monitor it, accept it, monitor it, and if we have any issues within the first year of this warranty period, that we get a hold of M Finger Construction and have a conversation and sit down with them and ask them what we can do, what he can do to remedy that issue. I think if we patch it up and try and chase cracks that aren't perfectly straight, we'll have a piecemeal, and it probably won't be very aesthetic looking. And
Who's the 1 year warranty through?
Say that again, Johnny. Here.
Who is the 1 year warranty through?
It's from M Finger Construction.
M Finger Construction.
Yes, the park. So I think at that note, if we chase what we have out there, that's real minuscule. There's not much width to it at all. They're recommending anything over an eighth of an inch to go ahead and grind out and fill. There's nothing like that I see out there at this current time. So.
So that's how they would repair it, is grind it out and then regrout it?
Yeah, and I think that if you get to that point right there, it really needs to be talked about, because some of those, they're not just a crack, they're just a straight line, and it's jagged like this, so trying to grind all that out is going to kind of look kind of bad, and we really don't want that. So I'm pretty confident that it's not going to go anywhere. I don't think it's going to grow, but we're going to monitor it just to make sure, and so if it does, then we'll...
So we'll have till November next year.
Correct. From date of acceptance, we have that, a year warranty. So.
Council? Shall we?
Well, my take on this, and I went up just while I contacted you, and I met you up there. If this is the best thing they've ever seen, then I'd hate to see the worst. Because there is cracks. They put in crack seal, the deals there where cracks supposed to go, and our cracks are going right on the side of them. They're not going where they're supposed to. As far as the 7-sack, God almighty, it is so strong. The more cement you put in there, the hotter it's going to be, and then you're pouring at 100 degrees. 4,000 would have been perfect. Less money. But anyway, my concern was that the city doesn't get stuck, and they're not going to be able to repair that. If they repair it, they got to open it up a little bit and grout it. It's going to be the ugliest thing you ever seen, unless we go in and paint it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anytime you repair concrete, it's ugly. Mm-hmm. It
doesn't look.
But anyway, my concern was that the city didn't get stuck with a watering trough or whatever up there, or put a red barn over it. Never thought about that. That's all I got to say.
Okay. Hey, what's the rule of thumb as far as for them having to replace it, as far as the size of the crack? Because I hear if it's not, if you can get a nickel in there, if you can't get a nickel in there, that means...
Yeah, they're seeing an eighth of an inch. Everything out there right now is just hairline. If you went out there right now and tried to do that, you'd just be laying it on top. It'd just be a mess, like Mr. McCourty said. I wouldn't do anything until it got to that point. It's kind of like a crack in the street. We want to make sure it opens up first so you can get something in it to seal it, rather than just smear it across the top. It would just make a mess out of the skateboarders, and the eye effect, the appeal effect, it wouldn't be good.
So what would you consider having to replace it? Bigger than an eighth of an inch or what?
Well, I would, eighth of an inch, I'd look at it. And then I'd probably talk to the skateboarders to see whether they can skate across it. Because really, if you think about what they're skating down Pine Street, around the potholes in Pine Street, they're skating down. They've skated on all of our other stuff that's probably good. Cracked. They're good to go. They're off-road skaters.
Yeah. So it might just be adding character to the... to the parts for them.
They need help every now and then.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so, council, staff recommends that we accept the skateboard project as complete.
With the conditions outlined, yes.
Yes, with the conditions outlined.
I make that motion.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Who seconded that motion?
He made it.
I seconded it.
All right, now we're going to move to item 4.6.
Excuse me, Mayor, I'd like to make an update on 14th Avenue. As of today, talking to our inspector engineer on the job, weather's supposed to hold. So we're looking at tomorrow, or looking at Wednesday, of actually cementing and patching and sealing our manhole covers and things out on the street. And then on Thursday, doing the striping for the street. That's the plan for Wednesday and Thursday this week.
And traffic?
Well, Thursday we'll have a construction meeting to know just exactly where we set, but that's the plan laid out to then, based on weather.
Thinking Friday?
I'm thinking, I'm going to let the contractor make that call.
Okay, I hear you. Okay.
So.
All right, thank you for the update. I appreciate it, Terry. Thank you. We're going to move to item 4.6, dispatch agreement with Adams County Public Hospital. And Chief, what do you have for us?
Mayor and Council, this is an update to our contract. We have a contract for dispatching services with the fire department, but we also have the same type of contract with the hospital for our EMS dispatching that we do for them. This was a 3% increase, and it actually allows a two-year contract with a 3% next year also. It has been reviewed by legal counsel, and it has been reviewed by the hospital.
Questions, counsel?
I see it says it's an insignificant general fund increase.
It's a few hundred dollars.
A few hundred dollars? Okay, thank you.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to approve this interlocal agreement between the City of Othello and Adams County Public Hospital District 3.
Second.
Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
And we're going to move to item 4.7, amendment to personnel policy.
Mayor and Council, what this is as Council knows, we've had some issues with retention and hiring of police officers. We currently have two police officers in the police academy, and we have two vacancies. My concern is if we hire two more entry level, we'll be training four entry level at the same time, which I believe is too much at once. So we're getting a little creative here in trying to attract laterals. We've had an advertisement on the state website for laterals for about a month and a half. We've not had a single application, but we have had several come in and express interest. Now, getting creative, I looked at what some of the other cities are doing around our state. Spokane County and some of the west side cities are offering signing bonuses where they're attracting lateral police officers with the minimum, the academy. And the issue is the academy is, 4.5 to 5 months. We're paying salary while they're there, and then we spend a year in a field training officer program. Hiring a lateral, we basically we don't have to pay for the academy, and we compress the time that it takes to train them because they've been trained once and passed one other city before. So what this does is the personnel policy, actually MRS, requires that we have the money in the budget and that the city policy allows for a signing bonus. This motion in front of you would modify the personnel policy with the changes that you see in red, which basically authorizes the mayor to authorize up to $10,000 training bonus with 3-year contract. I wouldn't start with the $10,000. I mean, I think we'd look at $7,500 to start with. That seems to be the number that I'm seeing in all these other cities. Now, attached, you'll also find the agreement that was written by our legal counsel. It is a 3-year agreement for whatever term we put in, but prorated by the month. So if that officer were to leave early, they would be expected to pay it back. It would be a pre-employment contract, so it wouldn't be subject to union rules or any kind of defense by the union if the employee wanted to contest it. It would be between us and that employee because it was initiated before they were a union member. So any questions?
In here it says that it's a line item transfer within your existing budget.
Thank you. There is no budget increase this year. In fact, because we have the vacancies, we're sitting pretty well in the back. This would be absorbed very easily within this year's budget. And my proposal would be in the future, if we needed to do this again, to look at the budget. In fact, if I have an officer, that's a position that's vacant for a month and a half, that's enough to fund this signing bonus on that next employee. So we would watch the budget as it goes and use this as a tool for recruitment and retention.
This also keeps our costs down significantly over sending them to the academy, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
I like the fact that you created an employment agreement that it holds them to 3 years to collect, you know, to really collect the bonus. What do you think? I mean, I don't think there's any way we could get them to kind of be close to the area or live close to the area. Can we?
The carrot that we use for that is obviously the take-home car. If they live within the 30 minutes, then they get a take-home car. If we were to try to negotiate that they have to live within a closer distance than that, or that we actually create a provision that they have to have a certain response time, we would have to negotiate that in their union contract.
Okay.
Kelly, you've looked this over.
Yeah, well, certainly the chief and I have been talking about doing this, and I wrote the bonus agreement. Mm-hmm. So I certainly reviewed that. And also we've, you know, and correct me if I'm wrong, but we've already spoke with the union, and or the chief did, and yeah. They've kind of pre-approval, the stamp of approval on it, saying they don't see it running afoul of their contract. So, yeah, and I think it's a good way of addressing the problem.
Thank you.
Your staff okay with it?
Yes.
Okay. No ill feelings.
I haven't worried every staff member.
The majority are saying, I've worked for this place for 10 years and they're giving somebody else 10 years to come here.
I have had folks jokingly say that they would resign and resign.
They lose their seniority.
I'm hoping that was a joke, actually.
What is the cost of training a brand new officer?
Brand new, from background to finished and ready to go. My estimate is 100 and a quarter to 150.
Okay. And doing it this way, what are they going to cost us for a new officer?
$10,000.
$1,000 in background investigation, maybe another $10,000 for the couple months that it takes to train them and make sure that they're good to go. My belief is that we'll have them up and running effective within a few months.
So we're saving $100,000.
And a year and a quarter of training.
Yeah.
Can't beat it.
Okay. I mean, get some sheriffs to jump.
I'd like to make a motion to adjust the personnel policy authorizing the mayor to approve signing bonuses up to $10,000 per lateral police officer hired, and authorizing the mayor to execute those agreements as needed within the budget.
Second.
Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Chief. We're going to move to item 4.8, ordinance creating OMC 11.70 titled Street and Park Trees. Amy?
Hi. So I spoke with you last week about a proposed ordinance to support one of the requirements for Tree City USA. I did make some changes to what I showed you last week based off of an email that I received from Kelly. I otherwise didn't change too much pertinent information. I will add that I'll be back next council meeting with some amendments that need to be made to an existing ordinance, which is 14.57 landscaping, due to some conflicting verbiage based on the current ordinance that's before you and the existing ordinance in the OMC. So I can answer any questions.
Council? Kelly?
Yeah, I just have a few comments and about this. And it's not Amy's fault. We were working on this, and I sent her back my comments by email. She made some changes, and I wasn't able to look at it again until today. And there's a lot of good things in here. I do have a few questions that I think that Amy and I need to work on, and I would actually recommend, and I haven't had a chance. This is a surprise to Amy, because I haven't had a chance to talk to her about it yet.
This really isn't a surprise. I was expecting
so. What I recommend is that we bring it back with the other agenda item for the same program that you need to bring back on at the next meeting on the 28th, so that we can fine-tune it. It's just there's a few things that create some ambiguities in gray areas that I'm happy to get into detail with if the council would like, but really the summation of it all is that we can get rid of those gray areas and have a complete ordinance package to provide to you at the next council meeting. So that's what I would recommend.
Let's go ahead and do that.
Is that going to put you in a bind for time for getting your tree city application in?
Yeah, but it's okay.
We still have time?
Really, it'll be fine.
Well, can we just give her, we don't need to make it a motion. Can't we just tell her, go ahead and make the application for the...
I don't think she can make that.
I have to have an approved ordinance to make the application. That's the last thing I have to have done.
And what we can do is, these are things that are relatively easy to iron out. I wouldn't recommend, we got so much on the agenda here tonight, and it might take a while to do it in this format, that Amy and I can get it done tomorrow with a phone call and iron those out, and she'll have it. And then she can get all the stuff she needs to do to get her application ready. Then we can bring it in front of council.
If I can have it drafted, then all I have to do is attach it and submit the application.
Exactly.
That's literally the step that I'm at. Okay. So I'm not worried if we want to wait until the next council meeting timeframe.
That works for you.
Yep.
Okay. All right, council. Entertain a motion to table until our next council meeting, item 4.8.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Okay. Let's go to item 4.9, general government budget follow-up, and Spencer, take it away.
These are actually the items that other departments were going to give some information on, but at our last meeting, there were a couple questions about the mower. Some council members wanted additional information. If you can, it gives more information about the mower, and I'm not sure about
the skate park. So we have our department heads here. Let's start with, there was people wanted to see the mower. Now you've seen the mower. Do you have any additional questions of Terry about the mower?
No.
No? Okay.
That was the one that asked, and no, I don't.
Okay.
It's worth every...
Then, Terry, you had got a preliminary estimate on lighting at the skate park?
I don't have a dollar. I met with them today. I tried to meet with them last Thursday. They were just out of town. They're up at Bridgeport doing a big job. Maybe tomorrow I'll have something for that, like Spencer or something. A couple of lights.
On a timer? The timer type?
Yeah, we yeah,
timer. So that they will shut off at 10.
Right. We'll probably do the hockey rink at the same time, so you don't push the button. And that's what we got planned. So they're going to put that together. Farmer's going to put that together, try and get me something so I can get it to in here. So, but yeah, we're working on it. Okay.
Thank you.
Can I ask the price of this red monster?
$125.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's what it was.
$125,000.
What you're looking at, right, Terry, is the one with the cab on it, right?
Correct.
Yes.
AC, heater.
So we don't get people.
So now you can remove the bat wings and put on, in the front, you can put on a sweeper.
Correct. Broom.
Okay. And you'd use that broom for sidewalks and stuff like that?
Sweep broom that off. We had a discussion with the council member on our winners.
But that doesn't come with that attachment, does it?
No, that's the attachment separate. Has to buy separate.
Terry's going to save enough money to be able to buy that.
That's in the red.
That's one of the red items. Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things he's asking for also, is the sweeper.
I thought he was going to save the money.
The broom was in the red items for this year?
Yes.
So it's all inclusive. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then Chief, you had produced a cost estimate at Councilmember Bain's behest, and he promptly left town. So we'll hear the information.
Yes, sir. So, Mayor Council, what I've done is we've, as close as we can, an apples-to-apples comparison Obviously, they're different platforms. I've used both platforms. I like the Dodge Chargers. In fact, I made a phone call to Sunnyside to see if they're still using them. What I found is they're phasing them out and going to these SUVs because it's a cost of ownership issue. The issue that they're running into with the large engines, idling as much as they do, they're running into a lot of upper engine problems where they're having to rebuild the upper end about every 2.5 years between $2,500 to $5,000 cost. With this comparison, what you'll see is that the base price is $25,587 for the SUV, $27,885 for the Dodge Charger. And the reason that the Dodge Charger isn't the $19,000 that we discussed last week is that is the basic model with the six-cylinder motor and no all-wheel drive. In order to make it as cost apples to apples as we could, we added in the four-wheel drive or all-wheel drive option, which I think is absolutely critical, especially with our winters that we have here. My experience driving the Chargers as they slip all over the road. So this actually brings it as close as we can. The next issue is, and we kind of rounded way up on the fuel economy of the Dodge Charger by giving it 8 miles to the gallon. My experience in Sunnyside was about 6.5. So with that compared to the 13.8, which is actually what we're getting on these vehicles here now, we'd be looking at over an 8-year life cycle, about a $10,000 increase, if not a little bit more than that, for the life of the vehicle to go with Dodge Chargers. So my recommendation to council is to continue with the SUVs, and they've been a good package for us.
So the police Explorer units are going to be disappointed that they don't get...
Well, I think there's probably more people than that would be disappointed, because we do like the Dodge Chargers, but I, as a chief, am still recommending the SUV.
Okay. Thanks, Chief. Any other question? Got it. Okay. Sorry, Spencer. Do you have anybody else you'd like to call to the microphone?
Oh, that's great.
Okay.
We at our last meeting, we had a comprehensive discussion about our red zone items, what we call our red zone items. We've been bringing all of our funds together, and tonight, after we've had a chance to talk about some of these items, the cars, the lawnmower, etc., tonight is really your night as council to talk about what you want to keep in the budget and what you want to keep out. There are a couple of updates that I made that you may notice in our ending fund balances after the red zone items are funded. I've just been updating our ending fund balances with the most recent as most recent information as we can get, so it's as close to realistic as possible. There are two things that I would change tonight. I'm going to sit down here so I can work the spreadsheet. There's a change that I made with the way we organize our red zone items. Here we have in our spreadsheet, just like last week, we were talking about the internal cost allocation here for the water and the sewer funds. That gives us our adjusted available dollars. And if we start taking our red zone items out of those available dollars, it gives us our total dollars left over in those funds, already taking out the minimum fund balance. In our general fund, we have a $500,000 minimum fund balance. Right now, if we were to fund all of our red zone items, we would have $500,055,000. So the minimum fund balance.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I got it. Got it. Okay.
So these are purely dollars that you have to work with without touching those minimum fund balances, which is still at your discretion.
Okay. So yeah. If we do what you said last week about the utility funding from water and sewer,
yes.
How fast could you enact that?
That would start January 1.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And the budget here reflects that amount of revenue?
Yes, yep.
What do you think?
Well, I was wondering how we could capture it this year if we voted it in for next year.
Are you taking from 2015 or 2016?
Yeah.
This is just $2,017 dollars. In our model here, we're pretending that we're gonna enact the 10 and the 15% starting January 1 for each of those funds.
So that gives us
the ability to push things out a year if we had to, but it's not going to cost the public any more money. It's just an accounting thing, which gives us money to spend outside of those accounts.
Well, to be able to get some of our capital projects done.
When looking at the spreadsheet, I divided things up into ongoing, trying to make a distinction between operating and the truly one-time. You'll see these items up here are the ongoing items. Patrol vehicles, we want that to be an ongoing item. Down here, this is just two patrol vehicles as ongoing. We have the one-time patrol vehicle down here. But then the fourth seasonal guy are two public work employees, one for water, one for sewer, and the PC replacement.
Those are additional funding items.
Yeah, these are things that are going to be going ongoing every year. These items down here are the
capital projects.
Yeah, the one-time expenses.
Okay.
Tonight, we talked about the water grant CDBG. The city's portion, the match of that would be $25,000. So I would add that to our discussion tonight.
That's like curb.
The curb, yes. And then the fire discussion that we had tonight, if we were to include those expenses, I haven't looked over the numbers, but the number that was thrown out a few times tonight is it would be an additional $42,000.
Wouldn't that go up in the ongoing?
And that would, yeah, that one would.
It's not a CDBG, it's CERB.
I'm sorry.
And didn't we discuss last week possibly making the park restroom, the ADA, the larger park restroom, a two-year project where we put away the 150 or 100 this year and then next year do the 150 when we've taken care of some of these other big projects and they're out of the way?
And we're going to allocate $150,000.
Yeah, that idea was floated. So what we can do, we can leave $100,000 from REIT that will move to the park restrooms, and the other $150,000 we can put
go over into
towards
street projects.
Okay. Yes, we can do that.
So Spencer, with your permission, after you.
Well, that's all I have. Other
with
than
your permission, let's start at the top. Let's go. Go ahead.
I know Terry doesn't have a number yet, but one of the things that I would like to see in here is that lighting project for the skateboard park in that area, because that I think that's a safety issue that needs to be done this year.
Okay. So she wanted to add an item. All right. So what do we want to put in there? Or do we
have six poles for Main Street? We can add those two in there. All good. I don't know what I put in there for the dollar amount.
Well, let's just call it for now 20,000. Is that plenty? Because there's
30.
What?
You'd rather overestimate than underestimate.
I say it's 30. I don't even know if I want to do it.
For six lights, 30,000?
For 25.
Okay. Yeah, well, since we're negotiating. All right. Anything else new we need to throw up there, Mark? I'm going to go around. Mark, anything new?
My big thing was the fire. Already on there.
Okay. Angel, anything new? I'm just talking new.
Fire is up.
I just had a question about his. Do we want to allocate the whole 42,000, or do we want to talk about that more?
We're still going to talk about it. It's up on, everything up there is up for discussion. I'm just trying to find out, is there anything else that we need to add to the discussion?
No.
No? John?
You already got my 2 cents.
Yeah, I did, sure did. It was a little bit more than 2 cents, too. So, staff, anything else that's up for discussion?
The only thing I would add was that possible starting the streetlight project on 14th as far as the decorative lighting. You know, and that was when you guys were talking about perhaps decreasing the amount of reserve in the general fund like you did last
year.
Decreasing the reserve in the general fund. Is that's not up
and there. Then adding streetlights at $7,000 a pop, you know, 4 or 6 or whatever to get a block done and start doing that, you know, every year or as we can. That was the only thing you guys had talked about last time.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody else?
The same lights as Lake on Main?
We're talking the same lights as on Main, or we talk something a little different, Jerry?
For
14th? For 14th, yeah.
Same.
Same, yeah.
Same line, just it doesn't have its overhead, doesn't
have a Okay. Anybody else? Okay. What about trees on 14th Ave?
I think we already figured on that. It's that summer. Yeah.
Up 30 trees.
Is what?
$3,000.
$3,000. Okay. We'll absorb that in the park budget.
Right.
Under the capital budget threshold.
Okay, very good. Let's start with
as we've been talking. I decreased the minimum fund balance to hold it at 400,000 again, and then if we were to take the park restroom, just fund 100,000, put 100,000 aside this year, and take the $150,000 expense out of the general and utility tax fund, that would give us, after the red zone, 238,000 to we'd have those extra dollars to put towards street projects. Yes, sir.
All right. Why don't you put that 200,000?
Huh? I don't think so. Yes.
Is the street lighting on there?
Street lighting is right there. Yeah.
No, no. That's
the regular street lighting.
Expensive for 14th Avenue. It's about $7,000 a piece. And the council needs to decide whether to do 4 or 6 or whatever.
$7 covers the complete cost of those?
Remember, we got Avista says we're going to do the install. We've already budgeted for the wiring. And so,
I was going to say that.
To answer your question, it's supposed to be the total cost. Of it.
I think you better put that figure at 40,000. Because by the time you're still going to have to run water, or excuse me, you're still going to have to run power to it, and et cetera. So, okay. Then let's put 150 in on street overlay for now.
Okay, 150.
Yeah, line.
Yeah. So what we'll do is in the general fund we have the $238,000 ending. If we want to move 150 over to the street fund, I only have expenses reflected up here, so down here we can just minus $150,000 from the ending fund balance in the general fund and add $150,000 to the street over here. Or that gives us the...
That balances your equation.
It balances the equation.
Okay. All right.
I think so, the transfer out is a transfer.
Yeah. Okay, so if we do all of that, that would leave what as the G general fund.
So the ending fund balance in the general fund would be the 80, here, I'll move it up a little bit. That would be $88,000, almost $89,000 for the general fund and for the general fund and utility tax funds together. And then the ending street would have $121,000 to work with there.
So the 121 plus 234 would give us 350,000 for streets?
356,000.
You guys okay with that, or do you want to go to 400,000 on streets?
400.
I'd like to go to 400, I think.
Where are you going to get it from?
I can get 50 more thousand out of it.
You got 88,000 more dollars.
So you need 44 more thousand from that in, yeah. So you go, instead of 150, now you're going to go 194, yeah.
94.
Okay, this is just preliminary in discussion. Now we're about to get into it. Anything else we need to change at the moment?
I think we should take a serious look at our fire reserve. I don't think there's enough in there. We have some huge expenses coming up. And at $50,000 a year, we're not going to meet those expenses.
Yeah, but we can put more next year. Because this year, we're going to have a lot of red zone items because we haven't done anything in a couple of years. Then they're going to be one-time things. And then next year, we can put a little extra towards...
But it keeps getting pushed off every year.
There's still $44,931 that we could play with.
To what?
We could add to that.
What specifically do you want to fund?
The fire reserve.
Our fire reserve.
Okay, well, we'll put 50.
So right. How much do we have in there right now?
190,000.
We have 190,000, and we have some really big expenses that's planning on coming up.
So if we put in another 10,
you know, right now we
would take it to 250.
Yeah.
Because then you'd be putting 60 in, and then your fund balance or your what you would have after you put that over would be $250,000 fund balance.
Right, I'm just saying that at $50,000 a year, okay. I'm not building.
I understand that, yeah, and I'm willing to go with $10,000 more from the general fund.
Let's do a little bit more this year, and then next year we'll add even more.
If we can get 10 in there, that's a great start.
All right.
Yeah, well, and then next year when we have less one-time red zone items, then we can put more in, you know, more than 60,000.
All right, let's add 10 more.
So that's here with the 60.
Okay.
I increased the 50 to 60.
Okay.
So Wade, that $25,000 that's up there for the beautification street lighting, that's this year's.
That's Main Street.
Main Street.
But that's this year's contribution.
That's next year.
That's next year's
2017.
This year's contribution is
this
still
year's
there.
Is still waiting to be spent.
Yeah, so right?
Yeah. And we have $25,000 earmarked for that this year.
So in total, how many?
I'll get 50 next year.
Yeah, so basically you'll have 50 that'll be spent in 2017.
Yeah. So how many total will that give
us? It's going to be 25,000 this year. It's already in the budget. It's already in reflection numbers.
Okay.
Then next year it'll be a separate 25,000.
So it won't roll over?
No.
Okay.
25,000 is the max per year.
How many units are we getting for that 50,000?
Four.
We're getting four for 25?
Remember, the 25,000 is not actually for the lights. It's for the installation.
It's the installation.
Okay. So it's the lights themselves are funded by the beautification committee's fundraising projects.
Yes.
So they have enough now to...
Lynette, get back to you to say whether or not she was ready to purchase the full amount.
Yeah, she's already purchased or is purchasing lights for this year with the money they have. And then what there's $25,000 for is to install the lights she's purchased for this year. Okay.
Right.
And next year they'll have another fundraiser and try and get more lights for Main Street. And... well, that's what the $25,000 for is for next year.
What's their cost?
For install or for the lights?
No, for the purchase of lights.
For the lights, it's almost $7,000. If I memory serves me right, Jerry, does that sound right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Per pole, yeah.
Total? For the purchase of the lights and the installation, didn't she say it was $70,000 or $75,000 per block?
So let's see. How many lights per block?
Lights.
I can't remember, Corey, sorry, but it's... The lights themselves are $7,000 each pole.
Yeah.
And then you see that
It varies from block to block.
And it varies with what we have to do, because sometimes you have to run the... Italian Quarter's the lights.
But that's a con block, it's already done, right?
Yeah, we...
It's already got the conduit and all that.
We put in there, it's just a matter of pulling wire, dropping lights in the hole, and then concrete. We already received six bases today, so the lighting will come within the next month for those.
So how many lights are they delivering for?
How many lights for this block coming up? Is it four, six? Six? Six, yeah. That's for Main Street.
Okay, so Spencer, why don't you start at the top? And we'll, how would you like to handle this? Do you want to go item by item?
Well, we can, yeah, let's just do that.
Or do you want to just all say you like all this and go?
That's another option.
Yeah, it is. So, council, what would you prefer? You want, is it some of these you want to discuss further? Because we've gone over them in committee. We went over them in our budget. There has been some changes. I think some things are going to need some discussion. But if they don't just bring up stuff just because you want to talk. If you want to, if you do have a legitimate concern, or you think there's information we need to know, please bring that forward. But if there's if you're in agreement, let's just start at the top. The patrol vehicles was, go ahead, Spencer.
Yeah, two patrol vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And I'll go down to the third patrol vehicle also while we're talking about those. Ellen, we have the two new public works folks, one for water, one for sewer.
Yes.
And we have the corresponding vehicles for each of those.
I'm not sold on those, but I'll get voted over anyway.
We need them.
A fourth seasonal?
A fourth seasonal?
No.
Yes.
Yeah.
PC replacement?
Yes.
Yes.
Fire, we have the 42,000 there.
Yeah. I have an opinion on this. I'd like to see the 42,000 in light of the new percentage that they talked about. But as far as that every year, I think we definitely need to work on the contract of their valuation schedule.
Well, so I'll leave that item unbold. So at least then we'll know what's bold and what's not bold.
We're still
so
going to discuss that. Okay. Yeah, I think that's fair enough. We'll continue the discussion.
You're saying we should do it this year, but we need to just discuss
that. I think that amount should be left there, and we can discuss if we want to go up that high, or but I think that number should be left there.
So let's leave that one just...
I'm not saying give it to them. I'm saying that number should be left there for discussion.
Okay, for in 2 weeks. And if we need more information, we will contact the police, excuse me, the fire department for that additional information. Okay.
So the next item we have is the server upgrades.
Yes.
Yep.
Network switch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exchange migration of the cloud.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. A few different pieces for that. Beautification committee, 25,000.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. The fire reserve, 60,000.
Yes.
Yeah. We increased the 50 to 60. Portable radios. That's on the PD side also.
Oh, wait a minute. The third police vehicle.
We did that.
Okay, good. Y'all are agreeable.
We have the park restroom. We'll put $100,000 off to the side this year.
Yes.
We talked about the two vehicles for the public works guys, lawnmower and broom, $128,500.
Yes.
The ADA review. This was one of those items. That the VFD. Well, six.
Yes.
Yeah.
We have the LE approach improvements, 25,000 from the solid waste.
Yes.
How many are those? How much are those a piece? About 3,500, Terry? 3,000.
Did you get done?
About five.
So we could get five done?
No, it's about five.
5,000,
but we have 25,000 in the budget, so we get five of them done?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Commissioner, the 19,796 for the ADA review, that's coming out of the what fund? Not the fee.
This is in the street fund. I moved it over per our discussion last time. And then we have down here the curb, the match, the netting effect of the our expense is $25,000 for the curb rent.
Definitely.
Skate park lighting, $25,000. And then the Fourth Avenue street lighting.
Yes.
14th Avenue.
14th, sorry. So the item, we under our street fund, we have $165,000 here, and we have $234,000 in our
TBD
fund. Do you want to earmark those for street overlays? Here we have the street overlay item up here. We can put 165 and 234.
And are we going to do the trees on the 14th? Or?
Yeah, that's about 3,000. That'll come out of that. That
300, what is that? 390,000? 400,000? Will that do a street?
Yeah, you'll do several. Oh. If you're doing just overlays, uh-huh. Yeah, like Venice over here, just the recent estimate I got, just right at 100,000 right on the sides and overlay street.
And what about like Pine and Second?
That we'll have to look at.
I've already looked at it enough.
Yeah.
We'll do something. We're going to do something there.
So with I added our ending fund balances and the street and TBD funds up to the street overlay fund, so we can earmark those for street overlays. The ending fund balances on our funds are, in our general fund, we have a 34, almost 35,000, and then the other funds are, as we've talked about. The only item left to discuss further is the fire contract. So what we can do here is table that for our next meeting when we have more information. At our next meeting, we'll have a few catch-up items as far as the budget goes. We'll have our discussion of the tourism funds and the long-term debt funds. That's more informational, or the debt side is more informational than anything else. But we'll have the Lodging Tax Advisory Committee come and talk about the tourism, and we can talk about the fire at that time. And then that's on the November 28th meeting, and then that sets us up for passing the budget December 5th. I believe it's December 5th? December 5th. And at that meeting, I'll have a series of ordinances that reflect our discussions and our decisions that we've made tonight and at our next meeting.
Okay. Very good, Spencer. Council. You guys are good?
Yes.
Okay. So with regard to the 42 and the request from the fire department, I know, Corey, you want some additional information. Council, is there any specific information that you would like them to bring back or to discuss?
Well, how much is in the reserves? That's what we talked about.
Yeah.
So one question real quick. So if we had 17,000 left over from the 250 and then 92,000 from the budget, so that puts you at 109,000 then that you put in the reserve for last year?
I know we have to look at our final budget, but if those numbers are correct.
Now, if you put that much away last year or this year, and so how much have you been putting away since 2003 is my question. What's the total amount on the reserve?
I don't know.
You were going to check on that, right? Okay. And then I'd like to see that. And then what are you planning to spend here in the next? You mentioned a truck or something like that.
No, what the you, breathing. The breathing.
The breathing apparatus.
Yeah. Yeah.
I actually have that.
Like 300 and some odd thousand.
300 and some thousand?
Yeah, I think that's what he said, 300 and some odd thousand.
The numbers we were dealing with was 220,000.
220.
So, Gary, real quick, so if we had 109,000 left over, can it be if in the past years, say the last past 14 years, before using an $80,000 number, could you have over $1 million in the reserve? Would you?
In the county reserve?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Not from the last...
Well, last 14 years, because since 2003. So I think we'll base it on what's in the reserve. We'll base on how much we're going to give, right?
That's certainly a consideration. Yeah.
So just a point of clarification: what is the total other services and charges of $158,450 represent on your budget?
Looking at
your budget, the county, Adams County District 5.
For which year?
For 2015, there was a total other services and charges under appropriations of $158,450. And that added to the total to create that $713,000 grand total.
I think what I'd like to do, because these guys are kind of getting caught off guard, they don't have it in front of them. I think what I'd like to do is have you guys communicate that through Wade. So as you guys are looking this up and you're beginning to develop questions, I'd like you to communicate those through Wade, and then Wade will pose the questions. That way they've got time to research and understand what it is you guys are talking about, because It's not fair to ask them on the spot here questions about their budget that isn't.
I'm not being inquiring. I just wanted to know.
I don't know what you're looking at to be able to answer the question.
ACF, the 2015 city expenditure report. Well, Spencer does.
And I'm not looking for a number right now, but if we go back 14 years or however many years, we'd like to know how much is in reserve, you know what I mean? There's 1.2 million or 1.2 million.
Scroll all the way over.
There's a little room there.
Okay.
All the way over to the left, so it would be the front.
Page two? Page one?
Page one.
Are you all the way at the top now?
Yeah.
Go all the way to the bottom then.
Is that the second page or the bottom?
Right there under account number, total other services and charges, adjusted appropriations.
Yes. Just to go back up to the next page, back up to page one, that's the total of that and the one right above it, I think. That's other services and charges. So it's professional services, communications, DNR grant, travel training. That's what that total is.
That's the summary of expenditures.
So it just got bumped to the next page.
Okay.
It's a subtotal of other services and charges.
It's really hard to follow this when it's laying on its side.
I know it is.
I haven't figured on here.
Or can we?
Yeah.
I gave up and turned on. Really?
Mm-mm. It gives me a magnifier and it gives me a copy or a select all, but that's it.
Well, anyway, we're going to...
Yeah, so you guys take a look. You have this information. Take a look at it. If there's any additional questions you have, route those through Wade. Wade will talk to the fire department, and then hopefully by the 28th, all of your questions can be answered, okay? All right. Thank you, counsel. Thank you, Gary and Jay.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
With the holiday coming up, can I ask further questions as quickly as possible?
Certainly can. Okay. Anything else on the budget discussion, Spencer, that we need? Okay. Let's move to item 4.11, and Travis has some information on the 14th Avenue and SR 26 intersection study and funding.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I wanted to bring this before you just to give you a heads up that the first of the two grants that we had gotten from Quadco to do intersection studies was done, and they came up with essentially three potential ideas. This first one is what they call the geometric design, and it involves adding a right turn lane on 14th Avenue at Highway 26. So as you're coming past the schools, you'd be able to shift to the right and turn right. And there's a long acceleration lane that would be added to the highway so that you can get up to speed before you merge. The second option is the signaled alternative. It's essentially a right turn lane as well, but it doesn't involve the speed up lane or the acceleration lane because they install four traffic lights and traffic arms at that intersection. The problem with this proposal is that the Department of Transportation does not like to have lights on this limited access highway. There is no light between when it creates at the Columbia, when it started at the Columbia River and essentially Colfax, almost to WSU before you get to the next light on the highway. And so they do not want to install a light. I'm sorry, I guess the one thing I forgot to mention on the previous one is this option is the cheapest. It's about $391,000. The lights involves about $550,000. And then the third option is a roundabout there. This is a large roundabout, and it includes what they call chicanes, which are just the maneuvering left and right as you come into town. It shows a large area of textured concretes and raised curbs so that you know that you're approaching something, and that will just naturally affect people's driving behaviors, make them slow down. And then the center of the roundabout would be a low, flat, angled cement area so that large trucks can track their rear wheels over that without causing damage. This one, the consultant estimated would be about $1.1 million. The Department of Transportation laughed, and they said it would be $1.5 million with $200,000 of design and engineering, so it's more like $1.7 million. So after talking to the Streets Committee, both Verlin Associates, they kind of did an evaluation of the $1.7 that the DOT came up with. I took the 1.1 and I added some contingency, and also assuming we're not going to build for a few years, so I built in some inflation for the bidding. And Verlin Associates came up with 1.84, and my estimate was about 1.8, so it gives you an idea of, might be a little more of an educated guess. I suppose the consultant would be correct if we could cut a check today and get it built right now with, you know, favorable bidding, we probably could get it done for 1.1, but that's without design and engineering and permitting. So each of you has a copy of the staff report. I just wanted to go over this with you really quickly. What each one of these columns is this is the eastbound left turn and the eastbound through and the eastbound right. So it gives you an idea of how many PM peak trips. There are 55 people turning left. There are 221 people going straight through the intersection and 11 people trying to turn right at that intersection. Those are all the people going east. And the number that we are paying attention to, or I'm paying attention to, is these total entering vehicles. There are 772 vehicles entering that intersection currently, and that's in an average PM peak hour. Now, what they did is they went on to the next step of figuring out, okay, we have several projects that are already in the hopper, CBHA, the hotel on Columbia, the Port of Othello, Sagestone. We already know what they're going to create or what they're preparing to apply for. And so they are going to create another 843 trips through that intersection within approximately the next 6 years. And then there's going to be some background growth of an additional 28 of baseline trips. So that intersection will go from 772 trips in a peak hour to 1,643. So that's a huge increase. Then they even extrapolated that out to the 2040 date. And that gets us to over 1,700 trips through that intersection. So clearly there's going to have to be some improvements made clearly within the next 6 years by 2022. And so this is, I'll just go over this really quickly to give you an idea so you can look at it. What it says is our existing situation with no improvements, the eastbound turning is a level of service A. It means the average person waits about 7.8 seconds. The north and southbound, these are the two important columns for us because it's our citizens trying to dash across the highway. Whereas this is designed to make sure that the people going east and west have the highest level of service. It is a state highway designed to pass people through Othello as efficiently as possible. So what we're trying to affect is the behaviors and the wait time of our citizens at this intersection. Currently, our average going north is 16.9 seconds, and southbound is about 18.3 seconds on average. Within the next 6 years, as these projects fill in, our service level drops to F, which is a failing grade. Basically, C is actually considered a failing grade. But our wait times will go to greater than 250 seconds per vehicle. That's like a 4 minute or 4 minute 10 second average waiting time. So that's what our situation is going to be like just with the applications that we're looking at. So this is important information for us to know.
Yeah, it is.
As you go down this chart, you'll see that just adding the right turn lane, it adds with the southbound, but really in the end, it makes zero difference whatsoever. So for the $350,000, even if we went the cheap route, basically not buying anything. As a matter of fact, what we're doing is we're actually slowing the highway traffic, but not improving ours. So on the bottom half of this chart is the signalized intersection. Now what this does for us in the next 6 years is it puts us down from A to a B service level, and our times go from about 9.7 seconds to about 14.5. That's not bad. We can probably live with that. The problem, of course, is the DOT hates this option because their citizens actually, or their customers, clients, actually go from 10 seconds, 9 and 10 seconds, to 17 and 26. So this flips the scale. It's totally to our advantage and totally is a negative effect on the state highway.
We're talking on the light, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And one thing we discussed also on the light, if they start... since they got more traffic going through there, if they give, you know, Highway 26 more time and they give us less time to cross, then we're going to be sitting longer too. That's another thing we got to look at.
Yes. So the equalizer would be they would start messing with the timing, so it goes back to benefit them, which basically puts us back to waiting 2 or 3 minutes, better than 4 minutes, but still, if we're spending our money, we're not really solving our problem. So what the consultant pointed out and concluded, and that is if we go to a roundabout, we immediately jump to the 1.8 potentially, depending on how long it takes us to get it built. Our long term is still a service level A, and that is true even out to the year of 2040. So we could probably triple our amount of traffic before we even start to slide down in the service level. So it is a considerable amount of money, but it is a long-term solution, and you would need to weigh doing maybe option A or option B versus just going to the option C. So I'll talk about the funding of that in a second. This I wanted to throw in really quickly. There is a chart in there about the forecast of collisions. Our existing intersection was, or the geometric solution, will average about 3 accidents per million trips through the intersection. There's about 3 million trips through that intersection currently. So you could expect about 3 accidents. Only of those 3, 1.3 will have injury. and the average cost of those accidents, including medical bills, would be about $134,000 per trip. Now, the signal decreases the accidents a little, and it decreases the injuries and the cost a little, but in both of these two options, what you're still having is T-bone type accidents where they're hitting each other head on, and one of them is going to be at a higher speed. And the issue that comes up with roundabouts is you will see an increase of and PDO stands for property damage only, meaning cars bumping into each other, but they go from T-bones to glancing blows. So the accident rate potentially would increase, but the injury rate basically falls by 60%, 66%. And so your cost of those accidents will also drop by about 60%. So what you're gonna have is potentially more fender benders, but very, very few of the serious accidents that result. The other thing that was interesting in here is the operating costs. Realistically, there's some painting and striping every few years, but there's minimal operating costs, whereas $8,000 a year generally for the electricity and the maintenance and the testing of the signal. So that's an additional cost that we would have to pay. And then the $2,000 a year really is kind of landscaping, painting, and striping, just making sure the weeds are down in the roundabout. But it's actually a lot cheaper once you have it in place, maintain it. Now, here's a representation, a chart of the trips. So here's kind of the background trip generation, 772. This will be the 2022. This will be the 2040. That's the 1,734 trips. The reason why I threw this in here is I wanted you to understand that really about 47% of the trips within the next 6 years, those are really kind of the existing background stuff that our community is already sending through that intersection. So the large increase is strictly through growth and the projected growth in the future, because there's going to be more. It's only about 44% of the trips. Now, why is that important? Is because if we're estimating about $1.8 million, the Department of Transportation, this is a very simple calculation. These four projects are creating all the additional trips that warrant the improvements. Therefore, they should pay the entire $1.8 million. Very simple calculation for them. So the city would pay zero. Sagestone, which is the Olson Holmes new project, would pay about $21,000. CBHA, $429,000. The port will have to pay almost $1.4 million before their project could go in. And then there's kind of future projects which we expect to come in. That would be about another $107,000. If we were to look at the city, that previous graph that I looked at, and we recognize that the existing traffic through that intersection should bear some of that cost because we are currently going through that intersection. That's the 49 or the 47% is $819,000. Sagestone, this is a much more manageable because he's going to have basically 100 houses, $10,000. So really you're talking about $100 per house. Seems like it's a little more reasonable. You know, the park impact fee that we collect is about $250 per house. So, I mean, it's in the reasonable realm of kind of the house by house contribution, CBHA. So it becomes a little more reasonable. The reason why this is an important option is because we have the opportunity to go after grants. And, you know, if we could get a $1 million loan, what we would do is we would be able to continue to encourage growth over the next, between now and 2040, and still be able to make improvements like this. The other option that we could do is we could go after a low interest or 1% loan over 20 years, which means that as the individual projects come in, we're only paying maybe $40,000 a year in our loan payments, or 60, 70,000, depending on how much we finance. So we would be able to spread that cost out over the Dollar Trees and the other projects that are sending projects through, or trips through that intersection in the future, without, especially looking at the port, You know, they're talking about $400,000 now versus $1.1 million, $1.2 million. That might be enough to determine the port's not interested in developing at this point. So I think our project would rate highly for going after grant monies, given the safety improvements, given the improved projects and the economic development status of that intersection, and the fact that it's strongly recommended in our comp plan that we pursue it. So it's got all the things going for it that would mean that we're going to score well for grants. And that's essentially it. Do you have any questions about this?
Was it cost prohibitive to do an underpass going north and south?
You know, they didn't address that. My guess is they did not see that as a viable option because you would need on-ramps and off-ramps, and on the south side of the highway with the, I'll go back to the photos, on the south side of the highway, we're already going to have to be working with the irrigation district for, this is their canal right here, so we're already going to be looking at taking a little notch out of their corner. In my preliminary conversations, their comment was, well, that's where our trucks go in, and if our trucks can't go in there, where are they going to be able to go? So we're going to need to do a little bit of negotiation. If we were to put an overpass here, it would require on-ramps and off-ramps, and that would require an even wider right-of-way, which means we'd have to start looking at burying and moving those structures back, as opposed to just cutting the corner and a little bit of the gravel approach. So
I think that Hampton House would be in the way for an off-ramp, though.
Plus,
okay.
Yeah.
Council, you know what's ahead of you.
Yep.
Yeah.
I still want streetlights.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good job, Travis.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Travis. Item 5 on our agenda is unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business to come before the council tonight? Any new business? Item 6. I have a couple of announcements. Number 1, and I know she may get upset with me, but I'm going to announce that it was Bonnie Valdez's 60th birthday today. And we had a great time.
Oh, man.
And that's why there's all the decorations in her office and the black balloons. So there you have it, Bonnie. Also tonight, I wanted to make an announcement for a special event tomorrow night. The Lions Club is hosting its annual Turkey Bingo at 6 p.m. at the Senior Center. Been the last couple of years, it's an awful lot of fun, and if you guys have time, I encourage you all to go. Buy some bingo cards, go win some turkeys, and enjoy the community. And is there anything else that needs to come before the council tonight? Okay, hearing none, I will adjourn tonight's meeting at 8:49 p.m.